And I entitle this, Pursuing and Pondering What Counts. I have three different texts here. They're all the same text. The first text, obviously, is the Greek text. The second text is the New King James. I'd like to read that out loud together, if you would with me. Let's read that out loud together. The New King James there. Let's read that out loud together, all four verses. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. We're going to break down the first two verses today, the next two verses, verses 3 and 4 next week. So here's the plan. Colossians 3 and 1 through 4, and we could go on because it doesn't end in verse 4. So we'll see what we'll do if we keep going or not. But today we want to answer this, what? What is the what here? Our practices are to match our position. All right, and you'll see that it's in your notes as well. Our practices are to match our position. Then next Wednesday, how? We're going to answer the question, how? Your eternal life, and we're going to explain a little bit next week. Eternal life isn't just a destiny. It's a quality of life. The Bible says you, if you're saved, you have eternal life. It's not something you will have. It's something you do have, okay? But your eternal life, your living power is secure in the eternal Lord. So the eternal life is tied to the eternal Lord. And then the next point that we'll cover next week is why. Why should we live this way? Because the promise for the future changes the pains of the present. The promise of the for the future changes the pain of the present. It's hard to live for God. It just is. And I think in many ways it's harder when it's comfortable. We live in an age of comfort. Right? Everything from hot and cold running water to gas lines to electrical lines to insulated homes with air conditioning oftentimes. You know, we can go out and walk in our grassy yards. If you own a house or you're in a place where you have a yard, we can go to the store and get our food. All of that. It's so easy in our day. We get in a car and we drive somewhere. Right? Everything is so easy compared to times past where people lived hard and they died rather young because they lived so hard. Right? So it is difficult to live for God today in many ways, but it's even in because it's so comfortable and convenient, it might even be a little harder because we have so much free time. I know that sounds funny, free time, but yeah, we have all kinds of free time that people used to have to be occupied using it for other ways. So here's the passage again. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So he talks about what you're supposed to be doing now because of what has happened in the past, because of what's going to happen in the future. You see that? Present, past, future there, okay? So what? And this is our main focus tonight, all right? Our practices are to match our position. So we're only going to look at the first two verses. And if you look there, I have it in right underneath the passage there, right underneath the title. I've listed those two verses again. Notice there it says, if, and that's what we want to look at first. If, letter A is our certainty. The word if can be used in different ways in the Greek. Here it has basically the essence of the word since. It's a certainty because it is true. It's called a first-class condition because it is true. Not it might be true or it probably isn't true. The way it's written is it is true. Since it is true. Since this is true. Right? It's a certainty. And Paul has already talked for two chapters on those kinds of things, all right? Our certainty. Letter B here, our position. Notice here, this is past tense. You what? Were. Circle the word were. You were raised. All right? If then you were raised with Christ, that's past tense. Then he talks about things that you should be doing in the present tense, then refers back to the past tense and goes to the future. Okay? Our position, you were raised. You were raised. I think this is something that we have a hard time contemplating because it's not in a lot of curriculum, for example. It's not necessarily a harder concept, but people just ignore this because it complicates things a little bit. But how many here have been raised from the dead? Right? Because that's what it's talking about here. And I'm like, pinch, pinch. Nope, I don't think so. Still here. Right? So once we die, we stay dead. At least our body does, right? We believe that our spirit goes to be with the Lord when we die. But it's harder because it has happened in a spiritual sense, not in a physical sense. We have not died physically, and therefore we cannot have been raised physically, right? Fair? You understand where I'm going? Okay. So what is it talking about here? If, since you were raised, and it goes on to say, with Christ, how can this be true? Because he's the way he writes it, since you have been raised with Christ, since you were raised, how can it be true? Go ahead.
We were dead in our trespasses and sin. That's bad.
Right. And how is that possible? I don't disagree.
Because of our belief in the Word.
Okay, belief in the Word. I agree with you there. It doesn't explain my where it was raised. How is that possible?
We're identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
Okay, so that's connecting it all together. We were dead in trespasses and sins, right? But we also now were raised. That's past tense as well. And Pastor Jim says we were identified. Identified, how does that work? But the idea is when Dad Wright said we believe, right? When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved. How does that happen? How does that transaction? We explained it in baptism when we talked about baptism, right? We are placed into the body of Christ spiritually. By one Spirit, we've all been baptized or placed into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Therefore, what is true of Christ is true of us. Let me ask you this now. Are you part of Christ? If you've believed, you are. You with me? Has Christ died? Yes. Has Christ raised again? Yes. That's how we're raised. Since Christ was raised, we are also raised. And you're like, I don't feel like I have a glorified body. It's not talking about your physical body, which, by the way, will still die if the Lord Jesus doesn't return it in the rapture and will still need to be raised. It's not talking about your physical body. It's talking about the spiritual standing you have in Jesus. Because Jesus died, his what? Death counts for you. Because Jesus died, His resurrection counts for you. It's hard to get our brain around, and that's why curriculums just ignore it. But it's a key and central focus to walking with God. Paul brings it up here. If then you were raised with Christ. And we're like, what? No, you have to understand that. Because Christ died and rose again, and you, when you believe in Him, you're part of Christ. Therefore, you died and rose again in a spiritual way. So that is your position in Christ. But it's not just a position. It's an empowerment. The empowerment that's explained more in Romans 6. Since you died with Christ, you no longer have to serve sin. You are free from the power of sin. You aren't free from the presence of sin. Have you noticed? There's still sin around. But you're free from the power of sin. You no longer have to serve it. That's the empowerment that comes. If then you were raised with Christ, since you are now empowered, you are free to choose to serve God, where before you were saved, you were not. Okay? Let's look at in the passage of Scripture that's in Colossians 2:12 there, right underneath letter B. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith or belief in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Paul had explained that before in Colossians. And he's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about what happens spiritually. Okay, water baptism, just what? It pictures that, right? And I put down a summary statement there. Because of our position, we are empowered, if you will, and enabled to do what is right. So Paul appeals to them, and since you're saved, take advantage of being saved. Take the intention that God meant for you being saved and go forward with that. And then he gives us two commanded practices. Okay, he gives us two commanded practices. We have the position in Christ because we died with Christ and raised with Him. We no longer have to serve sin. We're free to obey God. Right? Therefore, we are enabled. Paul talks about the resurrection as being an empowerment. It isn't just a fact of the past. It's an enablement of the present. Okay, that we can live like God wants. And we talked about Sunday that God expects believers to be completely different from unbelievers. You were sometimes darkness. Now you are... Try it again. You were sometimes darkness. Now you are light in the Lord. And then he goes on to say in Ephesians, walk as children of light. Which means you have to choose to obey that. Otherwise, you just walk in the old patterns, the old ways. Now you walk as children of light. Paul is talking about that in a different way. Colossians has a lot of parallels. But here's the two commanded practices here. All right, command number one. Notice you can go all the way to the top or right underneath the main first point there. It says there, if then you were raised with Christ, what's the next word? That's a present tense command. Be continually seeking. Be seeking, this can be translated. Paul says, since, and that's the sense of the word if here again, since you were raised with Christ, your ongoing pursuit is to be seeking something. You are to purposefully be seeking something. We're not talking about what the something is yet. But it should, I put it down in your notes here, what you are pursuing or working towards. Our entire life is to be consumed with seeking. something different because we have been raised with Christ. Our lives should be completely different because we have been raised with Christ. All right? Notice here, there's a couple places where this shows up, the concept that shows up a lot more, but I'm just giving you two passages. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, what? They are seeking. So you can, at least in the context that Jesus is talking about in Matthew, a very physically oriented context, that's not all of what Colossians is talking about, but it gives you some parameters. Our focus should not be on our physical needs. Because that's what the Gentiles are seeking. That's what they are occupied with and pursuing. In part, there's also the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. We'll talk about that in a little bit, right? But they're seeking at least that. God says this, Jesus said this specifically, that's what the Gentiles are seeking. For your heavenly Father, why shouldn't you be seeking those things? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Instead, what he says is, but be seeking first the kingdom of God. What God is attempting to do, as how I would summarize it in a very simplified way, you be seeking not even the basics of life. You be seeking what God is desiring to accomplish. And it goes on to say, and His righteousness. I would say it this way, the way He wants to accomplish it. Right? In other words, can you do things for God in a ungodly way? I mean, here's a stark example. It would never happen. But Pastor Jim might go down to a bank down here and say, give me all your money. You know, with the various and sundry weapons or whatever. And then bring and donate it all to church. Think of how far that would promote God's work. You think that's kind of funny? And it is funny. But the Pharisees did a lot like that. They were fleecing people in the name of God, right? So seek as a priority what God is seeking to accomplish, what God is wanting to accomplish through us, and the way He wants to accomplish it. Oftentimes we say, I'm on God's side, going God's direction, but I'm going to choose my own way to do that. And that is not what God is talking about. There is no serving God your own way. It's His way, His work. Right? His work, His way, if you want it in the order in Matthew.
Yeah, I have been in church where a man was giving a lot of money to the church while he was having an affair with another woman who was not his wife, and basically called that conscience money. He was trying to soothe his conscience by what he was doing.
Giving money to the church to offset sin in another direction, or so, yeah. Yeah. We could write volumes of books of people that, you know, seek to do that. So command number one, be continually seeking. We got a little bit of a hint there. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So another area, just as an example of what we are to be seeking, is God's work. Seek God's work, God's way, right? Seek to be doing God's work and be doing it God's way. And then here, part of that work is to build up the church. Be seeking to edify the church. I read 1 Corinthians not too long ago, and Paul's main emphasis is it doesn't matter what your spiritual gifts are if you're not building them up, building people up, because that's the point, right? The point of it. So that gives us a little sampling of this. Command number two, command number one is be continually seeking. Command number two is be continually thinking. You can go up to the passage there underneath what our practices are to match our position. The first word of verse 2 is to be setting. Or literally be setting your mind. So be continually thinking. And I put it like a summary statement. It says, what you are pondering or thinking about. We brought this, I believe, up on Sunday. I covered a lot on Sunday, so it's hard to remember. But God doesn't want just your externals. God called the Pharisees out on that, right? What did He call them? They were pretty on the outside. What did He say they were? Whited sepulchers. From a spiritual sense, it was like, man, you guys are white, clean, sharp spiritually, right? You're looking good. And He says, yeah, but listen, they're full of what? Dead men's bones. They're a whited grave. They're dead on the inside. Now, I believe that means they're unsaved as well. But listen, we can be walking like dead people on the inside because we're going through motions on the outside, right? God wants you to be thinking. He wants your mind, and I mentioned this Sunday, He wants your mind to be consumed with Him, not just something you tack on. That's why I'm not trying to offend anyone or whatever, but that's why I'm not big on the devotions idea that I was brought up with. And I'm not saying you can't have devotions. That's not my point. But the Bible suggests that you're to be meditating on the Word. How often? Day and night. And it says it multiple times. Right? So devotions gives us the idea that we do something and we check it off our list. And again, maybe it has persistent meaning for some. And I'm not kicking that aside if that works for people. But I'm saying the Bible says we're to be meditating on the Word day and night. And the Bible isn't talking to pastors when it says that. It's talking about the righteous person. Right? And it's filling our minds with what is good as opposed to what is bad. And we can fill our minds with all kinds of things. It could be just tedious details. Right? I still remember, and it's an example that goes way back, but some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But I can say 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Now you know what that is? That's worthless information in my mind that I can't get out. Right? There used to be a ditty, but I can't sing the ditty, thankfully. I don't remember the ditty, thankfully. But I'm saying we can fill our minds with worthless things that occupy it instead of good things. I think that's one of the major crimes of social media. And I can get on social media. I don't particularly like Facebook, though it helps me to stay connected to kids. I wouldn't know that I had grandkids unless I had Facebook, right? Because email isn't, it's too old-fashioned, right? But I can enjoy news. I enjoy Twitter because it gives me, it's very meaty news to me. Now, I don't get on it very often because I don't want to be occupied with that, right? I want to try to stay up, mostly just headlines because I don't have time. But you can fill your mind with the news. You can fill your mind with social media. I don't even know if I could name all the social media things, because there's so many now, right? There's so many different things. But that's stuff that fills our minds and it keeps us from thinking about God, right? So, books, there's nothing wrong with books. I'm a firm believer in books, but you can put those ahead of God. You can put magazines ahead of God. You can put websites ahead of God. You can do YouTube videos ahead of God, right? Even if they're humorous and clean cut or whatever. And God says He wants you to think about things that matter. Right? And there's so much of that that just fills our minds. Entertainment. I think one of the things I mentioned today is years ago, you would have lived in a time where you had no time to be entertained because you were busy working. You could not watch a TV show or a football game or whatever unless it was a rare occasion. And before there was television, you couldn't do it easily. Right? You couldn't watch something easily. But most people didn't have time. I think in one way, the movie theater was better than TV. Why would I say that? You could only go occasionally, right? And now we have it so it occupies our minds when we're doing things, maybe, right? We use it as almost background or something. And God says, no, you're to be thinking about My things, not that. And I think we fill our minds with things. If you can, and this is with movies or shows or whatever, and we have it at our house too, it's easy to get caught up in all of the details of things that don't matter about shows. Are you with me? And God wants us to think about things that matter. He wants us to fill our minds with that. And it could be all kinds of things. You know, it could be whatever. So we need to be careful that we're thinking about things. And this is continually thinking. He says, since you have been raised with Christ, be seeking and be thinking. You should be pursuing things and you should be constantly thinking about things. Now let's look at those two possibilities, because there's only two possible sides for what you pursue and what you're thinking about. Okay? So here it is here. And I call this our two possible directions of focus. There are not three directions of focus. There are only two. And I've mentioned that over. A lot of us like to define some happy middle ground where we know we're not obeying God, but we know we're not really way over here. We're somewhere in the middle. And listen, anything that's not over here is not obeying God. There's no third or middle ground here. Here's the two possible directions of focus. And let me read verses 1 and 2 again. If then you were raised with Christ, and it can be translated, since then you were raised with Christ, since it's a fact, a certainty, be seeking those things which are above. Ongoing pursuit of those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And then he goes on to say, be setting your mind on things above. Now what's the next part? Not on things on the earth. So God specifically tells us that we are not to be focusing or thinking on the things that are below. We need to make sure that we're focusing on that which is eternal, not temporal, as much as possible. God doesn't want us to fill our minds with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. And that could encompass almost anything in our culture of pleasure. Things that we don't have to do, but we like to do. That's pleasure. Okay? It could be thousands of items long. Okay? So let me go through these two possibilities here. Two possible directions. Direction number one, the above things. He says here, seek those things which are above. And notice the word appears twice be seeking literally the above things. The above things be seeking. Imperative, present tense imperative, in an ongoing way. And then he goes on to say, set your mind on things above. Literally it says this, and if you can look at the Greek, there's a TA, it looks like a TA on the very top line. I just want to show it to you. You can see it. It looks like a small T with an A after it. And it's pronounced ta. That's the word the in plural. And then there's an A, and then it looks like a V, and then a W. That's alpha, omega. It's ano. That's the word for above. And it's literally the above things. And then the next word after it is zetete. It's be seeking. And then if you look the line below, you see the ta ano again. The above things be seeking, the above things be thinking. It's very clear. You can see it in my translation. I call the upward because it's more of an adjective, not a adverb really. The upward things be seeking, the upward things be thinking. Right? In an ongoing way. So the above things, we are to be seeking the above things and thinking the above things. I give you two passages here that talk about the above below idea a little bit. John 8:23, Jesus, he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. And let me tell you, as part of Christ, you are not of this world. He says it over and over, and you see it in the epistles stated that way. You do not belong. Your citizenship is where? In heaven. You don't belong in this world. Philippians 3:14, Paul says this, I press toward the goal for the prize of the what? The upward call. I'm pressing on the upward way. Right? That's the idea. My goal, according to God, is to press on toward the above things way, which will be leaving beside or alongside the things that are not the upward way. Right? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus, the same word. So the above things, the things that matter, and we already talked about that a little bit in Matthew 6, where it says the kingdom of God, the work of God, if you will, and the way of God, right? His kingdom and His righteousness. And then he also, 1 Corinthians 14:12, the edification of the church is something we're to be seeking, so that would be in that above group. But I think it's the truth of God. I think it's the whole idea again of immersing ourselves in the Word of God, as Psalm 1 says, as Joshua 1 says, as the idea of Colossians 3:16, where it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that, by the way, is a command again, a present tense command. It's not an option. And if you're not doing that, you are not walking with God. You are focusing on the things of the world. By definition. By definition. The Bible says you need to immerse yourself in the Word of God. If that is not what you are, that's what the righteous man in Psalm 1 says. That's what the blessed man in Joshua 1 says. That's what the obedient believer does in Colossians 3. Otherwise, as much as we hate to think about it, we are not walking with God. We have our mind focused elsewhere. We're not focused on the above things because the above things are defined and refined by the Word of God. And that's the only way they are. So direction number one is the above things. Direction number two is the upon the earth things. I think it's partly my age, but I'm getting tired of the upon the earth things. I think it has a lot to do with age. I was conducting a business call Monday with two highly skilled individuals that I interviewed as a dummy to put information into things. They're the experts for this application, and I'm just gathering information to do my risk assessment. And my internet shuts off, which happens to run both my computer connection and my phone connection. I hate the things of the earth. Right? And it's really bad when you have to rely on them for your work. I don't know if it was the same day or not, but I have a desktop computer. That's kind of my main personal computer. Not my work one, but it's my personal one at home. Everything, all my data is backed up, whether it's church things, genealogy things, our personal business stuff, our will, kind of all that is backed up on it. And it died. And I couldn't resurrect it. Right? It didn't happen to be part of Christ. Right? As we talk. And I didn't know what the problem was, because nothing would happen when you push the button. And so I had to disconnect it all and set up a laptop so I can do church things and all of that while I'm doing this. And then I bought a power supply, and that was kind of like a Hail Mary for me, and that came last night, and I put it in. It took a while to disconnect the one hook. There's all kinds of different cables and stuff, and then I plug it in and I try to turn it on, and nothing. And then I remembered there was a switch on the back of the power supply too. I flipped that and it turned it on. I was so thankful to the Lord. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And then I remembered the switch, right? And the switch wasn't the original problem, right, of the other one. It was shot, but it worked. So then I had to reconfigure everything again, because I have multiple monitors. Everything I do, it takes a lot of monitors, because time, it works. But I hate things of earth. The more you have. My dad never had to mess with the internet most of his life. I'm just saying that. My dad ran a successful business. Do you know what a legal pad is? He had a computer that he kept an inventory on that somehow he managed. It was a DOS computer. Do you know what a DOS computer is? But everything else was done on a legal pad. That thing never shut off on him. It never ran out of hard drive space or memory. In fact, he bought a set of them, right? So if you run out of hard drive space on a legal pad, you just pick up another one and keep writing. I'm saying life gets complicated and busy, and we need to be careful that we don't focus on it. Some people, all they live for is computers. I hate cars. And I hate computers for the very same reasons. They're great when they work, but when they don't work, Susanna's car has been in the shop for almost 2 weeks now. Because of a little part that it's going to cost her probably 3 weeks worth of working up a camp to pay for. Because cars are fancy now and you can't work on them on your own. Right? I hate cars and I hate computers. As long as they work, that's fine, but sooner or later they're not going to work. You've noticed, maybe. But there's so many things. Those are kind of essential things, because I live and die by my computers for work and church. And I also need a car, you know, or internet access for what I work from home. But there's so many other things that you can fill your lives up with, and the more you have, the more it fills it up with. And God says He wants the kingdom of God and His righteousness to be your intentional seeking focus. He wants you to set aside things that pull you away from the things that eternally matter. Right? Pursuing and pondering what's the title say? What counts? And I mean what counts for eternity. Not what counts for your high score. Not what counts for your, you know, humble brag. Blog post or social post, you know. Oh, God is so good to me. Look at how wonderful I am. That's called humble brag, you know. Whether it's pursuing education for the wrong reasons, if it's pursuing position or pleasure or things for the wrong reasons, all of that goes together, right? God says the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world. None of that is to be motivating. That's the things on the earth. Right? And over, the Bible talks about that. Let me read some five passages that are in your notes here. And then I'll review just a highlight here. Chapter 3, verse 5, which is the very next verse of the after the four that we read. That we read at the beginning, it says, therefore, another command here, put to death your members. This is why I do not believe in lordship salvation, because you wouldn't have to command a believer to do this if they do this automatically. You have to put to death, you have to actively choose to put to death your members, what God says is part of you, still as a believer, which are on the what? Earth. Set your mind in things above, not in things on the earth. Fornication. And any representation of fornication. I think it's hard to watch entertainment today. Right? Because of that. We're not to be participating in that. Uncleanness. Which is, I think, more in general vile sin, if you will, passion or lust, if you will, evil desire and covetousness even. God calls covetousness, which again is the lust of the eyes, and it could also be the lust of the flesh. It could be the pride of life. I want that because it'll make me look good. People will think I'm important. I'll post this because. I'll buy this because. I'll earn this because. Right? All of that covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. It says you're replacing God by doing so. My posts, my writings, my readings, my choices are to promote God, not me. Matthew 6. Same passage that we read earlier, just a little before the Matthew 6:31 through 33. Matthew 6:19 to 21 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't collect lots of what? Stuff. And it could be stuff in the form of money or stuff in the forms of in the form of things. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But rather, on the contrary, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. That's where our focus is to be. How can I do things that make a difference, that count for eternity? That make a difference beyond today, beyond tomorrow, beyond my lifetime. In eternity, lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven. You earn treasures in heaven by what you do with the stuff you have on earth. Where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right? That controls your seeking and your thinking. We need to be thinking about the things that matter, the things that are above. And it says explicitly, not on things in the earth. And it goes on to say more in Colossians 3. All right, Matthew as well, but in Colossians 3. Then Luke 8 have referred to, but some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Now the ones, this is Jesus explaining now, 7 verses later. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard the word of God, if I may add that, because the seed is the word of God, they don't do anything with it. Why? Because they are choked. They've become preoccupied. The priority is the worries, that's the, that you can translate cares or worries, riches. You don't have to have any money to be rich, pursue riches. It's what you're attempting to. And then the pleasures of life, what you like to do rather than what you what? Are to be doing. There's all kinds of commands in the Bible. It's like, if we're living by what we like to do, we're not living for God. We're living by the desires of the flesh, the pleasures of this life. And we are not walking with God then. We are disobeying these two commands. It says here, the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life choke these people, and they bring no fruit to maturity. They never grow up in the Lord. They never accomplish what matters for God in eternity. Now these two passages I also highlighted Sunday. I covered a lot of ground on Sunday. But 1 John 2:15 to 17, and I've alluded to this at least 3 times already tonight. This is another present tense imperative. Continually keep yourselves from loving the world. That means that we'll constantly have a desire to love the world. Continually keep yourselves from loving the world or the things in the world. If anyone is loving the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love God and love the things of the world. If you're loving the things that bring you pleasure and are not doing the things that God has commanded you to do, you are not walking with God according to what the Bible would define. Now that doesn't mean we're walking a perfect walk, but it means we're walking in the right path. And if we're living by what we want to do rather than what God has clearly taught us what we are supposed to be doing, we are not walking with God. And God says there needs to be a clean break, a different way of walking for a believer. And He commands us, be seeking the above things, be thinking the above things. For all that is in the world, every last bit of it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the things that our body craves, and it could be any one of the senses, really. It singles out lust of the eyes separately, probably because it's so dominant. But I think our ears are impacted by what we like to hear gossip. We like to hear music that isn't pleasing to God, right? Things like that, or even that's fleshly. I think that's legitimate discussion there. But the desire to sleep, the desire to eat, all of those are flesh. The desire of a sexual intimacy, all of those are things that are desires. All of those, by the way, are things God gave us, but we are not to live by them. The lust of the eyes, what we see, and that can take so many different forms. A lot of people think of a catalog, right? And I think that's legit. Wow, look at all the things that I can't live without now, right? Because I saw them in a catalog. But also I can see somebody and I want to be like them, or I want to have what they have, or whatever. The idea that it's an envious type of lust of the eyes, or I wish I had this, or I wish I had that, right? And you may never obtain it, but it's the fact that your longing is that way. The lust of the eyes, and then the pride of life. And again, it could take many different forms. Some people worship their bodies. Some people worship their jobs. Some people worship their hobbies. Some people worship their families. Some people worship their churches. Some people, I know it's hard to believe here, but some people worship their pastors. In some circles, they do. Well, some of you have experienced that. But we're not to be worshiping celebrities, all of that. It's the worship of the creature rather than the Creator. I don't think we are to raise people up regardless of the position we're in, and we're not trying to promote us, whether, again, it's on social media or whatever. That doesn't mean we can't participate in social media. That doesn't mean we can't participate in different mechanisms of communication. But who are you lifting up? Are you promoting you, or are you promoting God? Are you doing it to make you look good or making God look good? All right? And then it says, the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And we've explained that, but literally it says, then the world is passing away and the lust of it is also passing away, present tense. But he who is doing, present tense, the will of God is abiding in the forever, literally. It's present tense, not will abide, is abiding. It's present tense. The person is doing what counts for eternity. They're abiding in the realm of forever by the choices they make in the realm of the temporary. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And the way Jesus said it is, where your treasure is, your heart is. Put your treasures in heaven. The same idea is there. And then the last one here was kind of the theme verse for the talk I gave Sunday was James 4:4. And James is talking to believers again. But he says it's adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking to believers. Over 20 times the word brethren occurs in the book of James. He says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God, violent opposition with God? If you're a friend of the world, you're embracing what the world is and does. You are like the world rather than unlike the world, because God says you'll be completely different. You're a friend of the world, and therefore you're at odds with God in a functional way. And it says, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world without choosing to do so, the next part is, makes himself an enemy of God. That has to be one of the most sobering statements in the New Testament. And James is warning them, and he goes on with, I think, 5 or 6 different imperatives to cleanse your hearts, wash your hands, resist the devil. Otherwise, we just follow the crowd. We automatically follow the crowd. We automatically live like the world unless we choose not to live like the world. And God says, I want you to be seeking the things, the above things. I want you to be thinking constantly about the above things, not on the things on the earth. That makes you completely different in the way you think, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you act, the way you choose, the way you decide, the way you live your life, the way you approach entertainment, the way you even involve yourself in a local church. It's all there. And it's either or. There is no third part. So again, the overview here, Colossians, what we talked about tonight is our practices are to match our position. We've been raised with Christ. Therefore, take advantage of that freedom and be seeking those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And set your mind, be setting your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, right? Next week, we're going to talk about how a little more, because it goes into it, and it's like, how does that make sense? Verse 3, how does it tie in? And then verse 4 talks about the why. The promise for the future changes the pain of the present. So, anyway, I honestly cannot think of a better passage of Scripture. If you want to memorize Scripture, think Colossians with regard to walking with God. Because it really lays it down clearly and specifically, and it goes beyond verse 4, obviously, but I would encourage you to consider that. It's an important passage of Scripture, and it should regulate and restrict us, right? Seeking and thinking, and it tells us what to be seeking and what to be thinking, and it also tells us what not to be thinking. Right, thinking about. So, a lot there. So, anyway, I think, again, one of the most powerful passages that I could suggest with regard to Christian living in all of the Bible is Colossians 3:1-4. So, Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that we would meditate on Colossians 3, 1 and 2. And then, Lord, act on what you command us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.